Hit it.
Welcome to the Barrel Rollers Podcast for the week of July 5th, 2009, episode 15. The LAN party was canceled due to a blizzard. I'm Cody.
And I'm Nick.
And yes, the LAN party was canceled due to a blizzard in July. It's Christmas in July. Did you know that, Nick?
Yeah, Blizzard just confirmed that StarCraft II will not have LAN support, meaning that you can only play the single-player mission mode and online multiplayer. There is no LAN.
Well, my guess would be that you could play like free-for-all against the computer, but you just can't play against other people's. And I'm pretty sure when we were in high school and there was a gaming we had gaming club, I'm pretty sure for an entire straight year people were still playing StarCraft LAN.
Yeah, I'm not gonna lie. I think LAN is pretty much what made StarCraft what it is.
Yeah.
StarCraft was one of those LAN party games like Doom and
Halo.
And all those other great LAN games. And like the fact that you're gonna have to play online is just kind of like, what the hell?
Well, I can see where they're going with this, because the reason for LAN at the time it came out in, what was it, 90, it was like 97 maybe, is that the internet sucked horribly. So if you could do LAN, you were pretty cool, because, well, that was pretty cool because you wouldn't have to go over the internet to find a server and then send it back down. There was just so much lag. I mean, if you had LAN, then you could play within your own network and there was probably significantly less lag.
Yeah, let's talk about this problem on a slightly bigger scale, though.
Okay.
I'm getting really sick of games that only allow for online multiplayer.
Yes.
I mean, I know you can probably do more over a network than you can on, like, split screen or something like that, but I'm just getting so sick of not being able to play a multiplayer game in the same room as somebody else.
Right. Because I know when you got the conduit, you were like, oh, dude, let's go over and play. Or before we got the conduit, like, it was the day that we were going to get it. You're like, dude, we can go over to Dave's house and all three of us can play. And then we got it. And it's just like, yeah, there's only one player. There's no split screen. There's no nothing. You either play single player or you play on, like, over the internet. That's stupid.
And I mean, a lot of Xbox games, too, are following this trend.
Right.
Like Call of Duty and, like, all those
games.
Well,
I can see Call of Duty, because Call of Duty, everything is really, really big. Like,
no, I know. But like, what I'm saying is the problem is that people just, it's going to get to a point where people just can't get together to play games anymore because you can only play them online. And I mean, playing online is fun and everything, but nothing beats sitting next to someone playing a game.
By the way, which Call of Duty are we talking about? 5 or 4?
Either one.
Because I played four in with four players in split screen mode.
Right, but you can't play like that four player split screen against like other people online.
Oh, okay. You mean to have?
You know what I mean, you can only play four people at the same time. You can't have any like combination of online and like
split screen
people.
Okay, well, even very few games actually do that in the first place.
No, I know, but like, I don't know. It just seems like something that definitely needs to be looked at, because there's too many games that rely too much on playing online for them.
Right.
And I just kind of want to be able to play in the same room as people when we have the chance.
Right.
Not that I don't like online, but like, it takes a lot of like the personal experience out of it.
Right, right. And one game that comes to mind is Super Smash Brothers, which was, it was awesome because if you had two people in your household, you could have three people on your Wii, and then you could hook up with someone else who's in another location. You could have four players. And I know that's something most games can't do. You can't have multiple people on one system playing with other people over the internet, if that makes any sense whatsoever.
Yeah. And I mean, maybe the technology isn't quite there yet.
I think it is there. I think people are starting to get fed up with split screen, or I think developers are starting to get fed up with split screen, because I mean, split screen, it definitely lags your computer down. I mean, I've had a couple games on the Wii where it was a Dragon Ball Z fighting game And if you it, there was a specific level, and if you pick two specific characters, having both having the split screen, having to render two different image like camera angles, it lags so much.
No, you're right. I can't think of a single game from any system where split screen hasn't dropped the frame rate by at least a little bit.
Right.
I mean, they definitely need to just get a more powerful system and then devote some of that power to being able to have two, three, four players.
Right.
I mean, I know High Voltage Software is looking into it for the grinder. I just really hope more companies bring back the old split screen because, I mean, it's fun to play against people online, but nothing beats playing everybody on the same system like that.
Right. And I think that's one thing that Guitar Hero and Rock Band have really succeeded on. Yeah, people play online, but nothing beats going to a party and just having a huge concert.
Exactly.
Okay, now that we've beaten that into the ground, we got PS3 news. First of all, rumor has it there's going to be a PS3 Slim coming out later this year. It's presumed around August or September, and around the same time they're going to be coming out with the PS3 Slim. What are your thoughts on this?
I'm completely unsurprised
Yeah.
seeing that Sony has done this with all of their systems.
It's very typical Sony.
PS1 was big at first, and then they had a smaller version. PS2 was huge at first, and then they had a smaller version. I mean, it only seemed logical that they were going to do it with PS3.
Hell,
Just as the technology increases, they just don't need to make it so big.
I mean, even the PS1 had a portable version of itself.
Right. Yeah, I think I do remember that. But
It
like,
came really late in its life cycle, but it literally was like one that just ran on batteries.
yeah. I mean, it doesn't surprise me at all.
Yeah.
Sony's absolutely known for doing this. So,
Right.
I mean, it's not something that I think people should buy the system again if they don't have it.
Right.
Like if they already have it, but like if they don't have it, I mean, definitely look into the Slim. It probably looks a lot better and takes up a hell of a lot less space.
Now, this is just a rumor, but I personally think that what Sony needs to do is drop that price ASAP. Like, yeah, they can come out with a Slim, but if they're gonna come out with a Slim that's $400, $500, and then they drop the price of the original PS3 to like $300, $350 maybe, the PS3, the original, is gonna sell a hell of a lot more than the Slim is.
Yeah. I mean, they'll probably like I mean, it's just going to be a less plastic thing. I bet it's going to still be a comparable price because it's pretty similar technology, so
Right.
I don't know. I guess we'll see.
Yeah. Well, I mean, not to get off topic, but the PS3 that I've seen one like two or three times. I've only played on one like two or three times. But that thing looks like it gets really friggin' hot. Can you imagine how hot a Slim's gonna be?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. Maybe they've improved the ventilation. Who
Maybe.
knows? But
Maybe.
yeah, PS3 Slim, it's almost definitely going to be here at some point in time.
You know, I figure if it's not going to be this year, it's going to be next year because Sony always has a slim version that comes out like 3 or 4, maybe sometimes even 5 years after. I mean, it's very typical.
Yeah,
So,
no. Yeah, definitely agreed.
staying on with the PS3 news, it was discovered that Sony patented technology last December to emulate PS2 games on the PS3. Now, what they used to do before, if any of you remember, is that when the original PS3 came out, it was able to do backwards compatibility. And the way they were able to do that is they had a PS2 chip, a phys like basically a PS2 inside a PS3 so that it would emulate it. The problem with this is it made it really expensive, and it's one of the reasons why a lot of people didn't buy the PS3 at the beginning. They took the chip out, they dropped the price $100, and then people didn't buy it because there was no backwards compatibility. But it was discovered Sony patented technology to emulate a PS2 game on current PS3 hardware, which is just great because that means that all you need is a firmware update and or a software update, and you instantly get backwards compatibility. And I think that's exactly what everyone's been waiting for.
Well, this is the approach that the Xbox 360 takes
Right.
to playing Xbox games. I don't know if this is still the case, but you have to download like some type of update for the game to allow it to play on your Xbox 360. Like for original Xbox games, you can get them through Xbox Live. But what it basically does is it emulates an Xbox so that it can read an Xbox game. Sony's definitely trying this approach, and I think if it means keeping the price down and making it easy and it works, I think it's a
Yeah.
great idea.
That's the thing, is if it works.
Exactly. Nintendo's obviously doing it a different way. They have GameCube hardware in the Wii, so they don't have to emulate the game. The game plays like a GameCube. So, I mean, different approaches, but backwards compatibility is something that Sony's always been big with. Their PS2 could play the PS1 games, and when the PS3 came out, people were hoping that that could be able to play PS2 and PS1 games. It kind of failed, but because they're all disc-based systems, I think that there's got to be a good way for them
Right.
to do it. Unlike, I mean, Nintendo obviously has the problem that their first three consoles were cartridge-based. So, like, that presents a problem because as hard as you try, you can't shove an N64 game into your Wii disc slot.
I beg to differ. I just don't think it's going to fit properly.
True. But I mean, it looks like they're taking the virtual console approach to solve that issue, which I think is working great. Because I mean, you can play games from every Nintendo system on the Wii, and they seem to work just fine.
Right. And
But
I got to say, one thing I do like about the Virtual Console is the fact that you have to pay for your games over again, but it's not that much.
yeah, no, it really isn't. I mean, especially like take the N64 for instance. When N64 was still the big system, I'd go out and pay $50 for a game.
Yeah.
Now you can get that same game on the virtual console for 10
10.
bucks. I think that's a great deal, seeing that most of those games are only like 10 years old.
Right. And I think the one thing that's really selling the virtual console is nostalgia. And really, if you're gonna, $10 for nostalgia isn't bad at all.
No,
I
10
mean,
bucks is a great way to kill a weekend.
yeah, definitely. I mean, I still have games on my virtual console that N64 games that I haven't even played yet. I'm just waiting for a time when I just need something to play. I'm just gonna play it. I mean, talk about back order, but.
Yeah, definitely. But yeah, PS3, I mean, it'd be a pretty nice thing if they could emulate old PlayStation games because
Yeah, I think
I think PlayStation 1 and 2 had a great library of games,
Oh,
so.
definitely. I actually saw a picture of someone who had like the biggest PS2 game collection. It was ridiculous. It must have been a bookshelf that was like 8 feet high, 15 feet wide, had about seven or eight different shelves, and the entire thing was covered with PS2 games. It was ridiculous.
Yeah.
But I think this is the one thing that both of these past stories have been what PS3 owners have been waiting for: a discounted price and PS2 emulation. Which, if they can get both of those things in the next couple of months, they are going to be lined up for a very, very nice Christmas season.
Yeah, and since the PS3 is still pretty far ahead of its time,
Right.
all they really need to do is get a lot of really great exclusive games on there, and I don't think they'll have much of a problem.
Well, I think what they showed off at E3 was a lot of nice exclusive games, I gotta say.
Yep. So, what's the next story, Cody?
Okay, we talked about good PS3, and now we have a story about, I wouldn't say it's bad PS3, but this has to do with PS3 getting screwed. There was an interview with one of Valve's employees, and they said that to get So Valve has created games in the past for Sony titles. They had Half-Life on the PS2, they had the Orange Box on the PS3, and they said the only way that they did it was they basically outsourced it and ported it from the original version. And they even said that porting it from the original version and outsourcing it made the Orange Box on the PS3 worse than it did for the Orange Box on the 360, which hard to believe, I know, but apparently there were a lot of glitches or a lot of frame rate drops. And the spokesperson came out and said Valve has no interest in making any P has no yeah basically no interest in making PS3 games, unless they can do it right and unless they actually have people that are interested in doing it, which basically means the entire development team has no interest in doing it, which I do think is sad, but it definitely is. It's a hint to Sony that they really need to lighten up on how to develop for this system.
Yeah, no, definitely. I mean, we had that story a couple weeks ago that showed that
Activision.
People are getting fed up with Sony's development, and I think it's definitely seeing that the Wii and 360 seem to be such easy systems to develop for. I don't think that companies will care a whole lot if they can get their game on the PS3, seeing especially that it's the least selling of the three systems.
Right. Right. I think that this is just a sad story for PS3. It's like the only way to get even a few games onto their system is to port them, and porting is never a good idea. I mean, we found that out with the Wii.
Yeah, no, definitely. Yeah,
Call of Duty
I don't know.
3.
I don't really have much to say. Just
Call of Duty 3.
Yeah, pretty much any third party game.
If you don't think porting is a bad idea, go and play Call of Duty 3 for the Wii. Play through the whole story about three times. You won't be able to make it past 1.5. It's ridiculous.
Yeah, no, I know. It's I know it's a completely different topic, but like I said, systems like this, especially now, the systems are becoming so different from each other that ports almost seem like a stupid concept.
Right.
Like it almost seems like you have to. Once you create a game, you have to figure out which system it's the best for and concentrate on making it work on that system.
Right. Okay, moving on. It is rumored that there will be advertisements on the new Xbox 360 dashboard coming out later this year. And I say to that, screw you! I don't want advertisements on my freaking dashboard. This is ridiculous!
No, I definitely hear you. I really don't think, especially with people still paying for Xbox Live.
No, exactly. Exactly. That's one of the points they brought up too.
I really don't think you need ads like that. Like, I mean, if they want to stop the payments and turn Xbox Live into a free service,
right,
I mean,
exactly.
I absolutely think that.
Or have it like five bucks a year.
Right.
I mean, here's the thing. $50 a year does seem a little ridiculous, but for what you get, it's worth it. And even for me, because I have Netflix, and the Xbox 360 as of now is the only player of Netflix that can do HD streaming, which is awesome, by the way. But, I mean, even with the $50, it's not enough incentive for people who want to use it like one or two times to actually pay for it, because I actually have a cousin who is basically living – he got an Xbox for Christmas, and he's basically living off all of his like 30-day subscription gold membership trials, which I don't blame him, because for someone who doesn't play online a lot, $50 is just not worth it.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know. I think Microsoft might want to look back into their paying for Xbox Live thing right now, seeing that on the Wii you get online for free, and I'm pretty sure you do on the PS3 too, right? There's no –
No, there is no payment, I don't believe.
Right, yeah, I don't think there is. So Microsoft may want to reconsider, especially if they're going to start with ads. They might want to consider Xbox Live to like go into an ad run, like
ad-based revenue.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, plenty of websites do it. I don't see why Xbox Live can't.
Well, here's the thing, and like it's nice and all, but the ads, my concern is that the ads look most likely are coming from the internet, which means, one, do you have to be connected to the internet 24/7 or you can't use your Xbox at all? Or are you going to get the ads when you connect to Xbox Live? In which case, I'm probably never going to connect again unless it's to use Netflix.
Well, I would probably say whenever you connect to Xbox Live, that would make sense because, I mean, it doesn't make sense to throw ads for something that you're not even using, you know.
Right.
So.
And the other thing is that this was announced a couple weeks ago, and then someone from Microsoft commented on this, saying that the ads will not interfere with your enhanced experience, which, looking at this image, there is a giant-ass McDonald's sign right in the middle of the frickin' screen.
That's funny.
And then at the bottom, where, like, it tells you like button commands, like hit A to select. There's a freaking ESPN like an ESPN ticker just going through MLB stats. Like, no. Like, it's one thing if I get to pick what advertisements come up, but I doubt that will happen.
Yeah, I don't know. Or maybe like Google, they'll tailor the advertisements to who's using it. But I
That's
mean, probably not, but I'm just throwing it out there.
I don't think Microsoft is in any position to equal Google, especially when they just came out with their new search engine.
Yeah. All right, what else do we have?
This is an interesting one. Someone, I'm not sure if this, how long this has been out, but it just came into the spotlight. Arena Live is an open source MMO FPS. What?
So it's, do you have to pay anything for online subscriptions, anything like that?
No, it's open source. I doubt you have to pay for it.
That's pretty interesting.
Well, here's the
So like by open source, does that mean that people can just like recode it and stuff like
That's
that?
exactly what open source means. It means that none of the code is hidden, none of it's encrypted. It's all open to the general population. And it's the same. Basically, Linux is what made open source what it really is, because you can go in and tweak Linux whatever you want. But why would you want this for a game? I can think of so many ways people could hack the game to give them whatever they want.
Right.
Like,
No, I
I know it's online and everything, but still.
definitely hear you. Can't people, yeah, I was just gonna say, can't people just go in and hack the game? And I
Yeah.
don't know, it just seems pretty unfair to the people that aren't really computer savvy.
I mean, if you want a very basically near open source MMO FPS, go download Counter-Strike, because you can basically tweak whatever you want, except gameplay like mechanics. Like, you can go in, you can like add models, add skins, stuff like that. You can customize the way your interface looks, all in code. And yet it's MMO, it's an FPS, and you don't have to worry about people cheating, because they even have like a they have a specific types of servers that block cheating.
I don't know. I don't know, really know what to say about that.
Oh, here's the other thing. It is only available for Linux right now.
Well, I mean, Linux is the pioneer of open source, so.
Yeah, but I mean, there are plenty of other open source technologies on the other platforms. I mean, OpenOffice is one of the biggest things that you could download right now, and it's for all three operating systems.
Oh,
But
yeah.
I mean, to have an MMO FPS, not only can you only use it on Linux, but you can only use it in Mozilla Firefox. You can only use it in browser. Like, I'm pretty sure that browsers don't have that type of power to handle an FPS. I mean, I'll definitely look into trying this out, but this seems really weird.
What was the in-browser FPS? I
Quake
would.
Live?
What? Quake Live. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, they said that's exactly what's mentioned in the article. It says it aims to be an open source alternative to Quake Live.
It's going to be interesting, though. I mean, I wonder how a game like that can work just through a browser.
Yeah.
It's going to be have to be one hell of a server, let me tell you.
I will definitely install Linux to try this out, though, because this it looks interesting, and I think it's a great concept, but just the idea that there's obviously going to be hackers. There's no doubt.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Our next story before we finish this thing up. Midway is being bought. So, for those of you who don't know, Midway is the company that created a lot of fighting franchises, such as Mortal Kombat.
Mortal Kombat!
I was waiting for that one. TNA Impact, and a couple other wrestling games. Not they also have other games, but they're mostly known for Mortal Kombat. Last, I think it was February, filed for Chapter 11 bankruptcy, and they're almost done filing all the paperwork. They're almost out of it, and Warner Brothers comes around and says, "Hey, we'll buy it for $33 million." Warner Brothers. Is there?
Warner Brothers owns
Yeah, I was
everything.
just
They
about
own
to say, is
DC
it?
Comics. They own a movie studio.
Is
They
it?
own everything.
Is there any type of like digital or publication franchise they don't own?
Oh, it's really crazy. But
Not to mention they own their own water tower in which they store Disney DVDs for years.
yeah, and not to mention three Animaniacs.
That's very true. That's very true.
Yeah, but they escaped.
Like, I'm pretty sure Warner Brothers does have a development studio. I don't for gaming anyways. I don't think it was that big. But I'm just glad to see that Mortal Kombat is not going to die.
Yeah, no, definitely.
Because unlike Tony Hawk, unlike Guitar Hero, Mortal Kombat is a fighting game that just is fun. Every time, every iteration of it is fun.
Yeah, no, I definitely agree.
I mean,
I was kind of
especially.
scared that Mortal Kombat and I mean other Midway franchises,
Right.
Spy Hunter, might die if they like. I mean, since they're going into bankruptcy, but
Right.
like
Right.
maybe we'll finally be able to see Mortal Kombat versus DC 2.
Wait, I was actually just about to talk about that. Their last game was Mortal Kombat versus DC Universe, which was awesome because you could have Scorpion from Mortal Kombat fighting freaking Batman from DC Universe. Like, how awesome is that?
Yeah, no, they've definitely had a lot of like really cool crossovers, and I mean they're definitely Capcom's biggest competition as far as fighting games go, so.
Yeah. And I mean, it's glad to see that the Mortal Kombat franchise is going to a company that most likely will know how to handle what they're doing. Unlike like they could have gone to Sony, and then the only thing you'll ever see Mortal Kombat again is being on Sony platforms because that's what they do.
Yeah, I know.
But it's good to see that Midway, I, from what I would say, is in the right hands.
Yeah, I guess. I mean, I guess any hands is the right hands for Midway right now.
Yeah, that's a good point. And then we're gonna continue on to our last story of the day, which I don't know. It's hard to say. I mean, we agree that this is probably the biggest story, but that PS3, that was a pretty big one. But this has to do with the Pirate Bay. So if those of you who don't know, the Pirate Bay is a huge, was a huge provider in illegal downloading. People would go there to download anything and everything, and their main thing was, oh, our servers are in Sweden. We're in Sweden. Therefore, all of you people in America and other countries can't sue us because of international, like, standards. And then the Swedish government went and sued them.
Yeah.
Which, yeah,
Well,
nice one.
I guess it's a good thing because it's showing international governments working together to stop this piracy problem.
Right.
But
But, so the Pirate Bay was, I don't know what it's more infamous for, if it was movies or games, but, they got sued. Four of the members, I believe there was seven, four of them got thrown in jail. They each have to pay they have to pay $3 million each. And then basically last week or earlier this week, a company in Sweden comes around and says, "Eh, we'll buy the Pirate Bay off you."
right. And what are they going to do with it?
They are basically going to make you pay money to download basically illegal games.
Well, not
Well,
exactly.
yeah, but, okay. So they're going to use Pirate Bay's. What it sounds like is they're going to use Pirate Bay's engine, all of Pirate Bay's stuff, which is for basically for stealing illegal stuff, downloading illegal content. They're going to make you pay for it, and then they're going to give some of the money back to the development companies. Which I have to say, this has got to be the worst middleman workaround I've ever seen.
Yeah, but I mean, what other solution? The only other solution really would just be to shut it down. So,
Yeah.
I mean, I guess that would probably be the better solution, but I mean, somebody gets to make money off of something that's already extremely popular. Who knows if people are actually going to pay for it?
Well, see, that's the thing, and a lot of people, a lot of analysts have been saying that people that download, a lot of the people that download content, or a lot of people that download a lot of the content, are only doing it,
Because
but.
it's free.
Well, not because it's free, but because they want a piece of the internet and they're not going to do shit with it. Like, there are definitely a lot of people that have the entire Britney Spears discography, but they don't listen to it. They just do it because it's out there.
Right.
So I don't think people are going to pay to download stuff because most of these people only pay just to say they have it.
Yeah, I mean, it was definitely a problem because from what I hear, the Pirate Bay had like The Sims 3 3 weeks before it actually hit shelves.
Oh, yeah.
Which is like, I mean, that's for a company like,
Oh, actually, I had a story about that.
yeah,
I can read it.
but like for the company that publishes The Sims, what is it, like EA,
Yeah, it's EA.
I think, EA, yeah. I mean, that's definitely a problem because 3 weeks before the game comes out, people can already download it for free. And I mean, that had to have hit them in the revenue at least a little bit.
Oh, actually, The Sims 3 was mentioned in this Pirate Bay article, which is an interesting thing of what they did. So What EA is infamous for is DRM and controlling every single bit of how people play online. And Sims 3 got released 3 weeks before it came out, and everyone went, well, a lot of people went and grabbed it just to play it. What did EA do? They instantly shut down online play for those people that had downloaded it and basically said, here is a demo of what you can do in The Sims 3. And to get the full experience, you're going to have to pay for it. Because now I don't play The Sims. I played it a long time ago. I don't know that much about it. But apparently it's really big on the internet. So if you don't have the internet, you're missing out. Which is, yeah, I guess this is a great step because of what happened with Spore, in which you could download it and still play it online. So I think EA is doing a good thing here, but that was a complete tangent. Back to the Pirate Bay. This, you know what? I don't know how I feel about this because, I mean, it's, I don't think it's gonna fly.
I mean, who knows? I mean, they could try. I mean, the Pirate Bay already has a good following, so I mean, it's more than likely that pirates are just going to leave the site and then just go somewhere else for their illegal downloading,
No,
but
exactly. Well, here's the thing is that if you want enough money to run the company and pay developers, you're going to have to charge a lot. But if you charge a lot, no one's going to buy the service.
yeah, I don't know. I guess it'll be interesting.
Yeah, it's definitely going to be an interesting thing. Keep you posted on that. Wow, this episode flew by.
Yeah.
That was a really quick episode, but you know what? Not a lot of
Nothing that major to talk about since E3. Oh, one other thing we should throw in there.
What is this?
The interview with Shigeru Miyamoto, since
Oh,
we haven't had a Nintendo story.
jeez. You have to throw a Nintendo story in every single episode, don't you?
Yes, I do. A
Fanboy.
Nintendo Power interviewed Shigeru Miyamoto in the new issue, and he mentioned they asked him a question like, do you think the new Zelda will be really revolutionary and really different? And his answer was along the lines of, I don't think it'll be anything majorly different than you've seen in previous Zelda games and stuff like that. Which, I mean, it could have been like, I mean, not that that's not what exactly he said, but like it might be a little out of context as to what we're thinking of. But like, I really hope that it's not just like another throwaway Zelda game. I really hope the next Zelda is like a really revolutionary game, especially seeing that it's on the Wii.
You think Twilight Princess was a throwaway game?
Well, it was a definitely a good game in its own right, but like it did feel a lot like a upgraded Ocarina of Time.
Well, yeah, even I mentioned that to you when I first played it. I mean, I was like, dude, look at the map. It looks exactly, basically, there were like three regions on the entire map that just didn't fit into place, but other than that, the entire map looked like Ocarina of Time. Everything you did in sequence looked like Ocarina of Time. And there were just very few things that weren't Ocarina of Time-esque.
Right, and
So
I don't think we've had a really revolutionary Zelda game since Ocarina of Time.
I
So,
would say Majora's Mask was probably the last biggest step. Actually, you know what? I take that back because I know I understand why if I get hate mail for this, but I'm sorry, Oracle of Seasons and Oracle of Ages for the Game Boy was just epic.
yeah, no, I know a lot of people like those. I just, Yeah, I just really hope that he can take the series in a new direction, because I think the whole, even the storyline of Zelda, fun game, but like the storyline's grown kind of stale because it's the exact same story in every
Right,
game.
right. Speaking
I
of
don't know.
which, I know you sent me this a long time ago before Twilight Princess came out. The IGN retrospect of Zelda dealing with the timeline. Do you believe there is a timeline?
I don't know. I really don't know if, I mean, if there is a timeline, I think only Shigeru Miyamoto knows it.
Right.
It seems like there are definitely hints dropped all over the place in the games to say that there's some sort of timeline.
Right.
But whether this timeline actually exists, I don't think anybody will know. Maybe it's in Shigeru Miyamoto's will, like it's in little side pocket in the envelope. This is where I'm leaving all my fortune to. And by the way, this is the timeline for Zelda.
Yeah, that would be pretty epic. But for those of you who don't know about the timeline, I'll put a link in the show notes. This was made, it was like, it must have been like 2 or 3 weeks before Twilight Princess came out, which means Phantom Hourglass wasn't out at the time. But it is very interesting the way they put all the Zelda games in a timeline.
Right. I mean, I'm sure, I think some type of timeline exists,
It wouldn't
whether it's
surprise me.
coherent or anything, I'm not really sure, but
Right. But I think that's gonna do it. I mean,
think
unless
that's about it.
you got anything else to talk about?
No, I really don't.
Okay, we got our Wii in there. We didn't have any story about 360, did we? Oh, the ads, that's right. Okay, so we got all the consoles in there. No, I think that's gonna do it. Go to our blog, thebrpodcast.blogspot.com, if you wanna check out all the links that we talked about in the show.
Oh, and I also on the blog, I put up
Oh
my
yes.
ideal control setup for the conduit. If you guys want to check it out and comment on what, try it out a little bit and tell me what you think of it, that'd be pretty cool.
Yeah. I gotta say though, something about that game's controls. Like, yeah, they're nice, but maybe it's just the way I'm using your controller setup. I'll probably have to switch it back.
Yeah, I mean, it's different for every person,
Yeah,
but
it's
like,
true. It's true.
just,
Okay,
yeah.
so go to the blog to find out the conduit stuff. Go to my blog, which I try to update daily, but it's been a little tough. It's at college-gamers.blogspot.com. You can go to our podcast blog and find it in the side links. You can go to our podcast blog and also find in the side links Nick's blog about what's going on in his head right now. What was your last post? Was it Transformers?
I don't know. I've had a
2042?
few posts since then. Just check it out. It's mostly like opinion things on, I
Music and
mean,
movies mostly.
yeah, but like, I mean, it's not just that. It's
Yeah.
morality. I mean, it's like all kinds of stuff. So
Yeah.
politics, and I mean, it's definitely not just entertainment based,
When
so.
Nick says it's what's going on in his head, he is not kidding. Like, it's not just gaming, it's not just music, it's everything.
Yeah, just a little, just like pretty much a little bit of what I'm thinking every day. So, I mean, check it out, see if you like it.
Yeah, definitely. And follow me at Twitter. I am twitter.com hyphen the beast 33. And I think that's gonna do it for this week. We'll
All
have
right.
it try to have an episode later up this week. Sorry for the delay, but 4th of July weekend is a bitch.
Yeah, it got kind of crazy, but
Whew.
I think we're just rambling on now.
I think we are, and I think it's a good time to end. So we'll see you next week.
Goodbye.